So yeah, we've got a bunch of rockets all. Okay, we have a bunch of rockets all sort of chilling about, flying. Disco rockets. How cool is that? But these are a bit of a mess, so I'm going to select all of them, and I'm going to get rid of them. So I just have in my prefabs folder one rocket, and I have it in my scene here. So what I want to do is by code, I want to say whenever I hit spacebar or do a particular thing, create an object that is saved as a prefab somewhere. And this is fairly straightforward and simple. What I can do is I can go to my script that I want to call it. So in this case, my spaceship control. Let's open up that. And on spaceship control, I'm going to pass it in a couple of things to do. So the first thing is, this is where designers love it. Is I'm going to make a public game object called Rocket. I'm also going to set up two public transforms called Spawn Point 1 and Spawn Point 2. Nice and simple. So in whereas I have a public float, which is basically a number with a floating point value, so 4.5 or 4.6 or whatever it may be. With public game object rocket, basically what I'm doing is I don't care about a particular individual point of my rocket. I'll care about the whole rocket as a whole object. It is its whole game object. And when I create my rocket, I want everything about it to be imported as well when I create it. So when I bring in my rocket into my scene, hang on, Unity is being slow. So when I bring my rocket into my scene and I have all this description, I want to reference everything about it. So I want to pull the whole game object across. I don't care about a particular element of it. So that's why I reference the whole game object. So I want to have bring its script, I want to bring its animation, I want to bring its physics and things like that. In terms of transform, I don't care about the whole object, I just care about its location. So in this case, I'm going to use the white blasters. So I've got my left blaster and my right blaster. So left blaster. Okay, it's called left blaster, right blaster now. So in terms of these, I don't care about what my blasters look like. I just care about what my transform is. So I'm going to set up a variable which stores the transform, the XYZ values of the position, the rotation, and the scale. So this is a lot more optimized because instead of grabbing the entire object's reference, we're only grabbing what we care about that particular object. So game object for the whole object, transform if we only want to reference the position, rotation, and scale of something. Another thing I can do is I can set up, I can also store sprite renderer. So I could set it up so that I only pull in the sprite renderer from the ship. So with these variables, basically what I'm doing is I'm basically accessing exactly what I want to from my game objects. So in this case, I'm referencing the rocket, and I'm going to spawn one at spawn point one and spawn one at spawn point two. So if I scroll down, I need to set that up. So I'm going to write if input.getKeyDown. Okay, you can tell that the Italian keyboard has slipped me up already. Basically, I want to basically say, whenever I hit spacebar, spawn a rocket and do a thing. I've completely forgotten what Alt GR. Wait, okay, cool. And then underneath here, I'm then going to trigger a very simple function called fire rocket. So yeah, whenever I click spacebar, I'm going to trigger the function of fire rocket. So if I make that custom function of fire rocket, Alt GR that. I can then put in the creation code for my prefab. And to create an object in Unity, you basically need three things. I'm going to use instantiate, which is basically the way of saying create this into our scene. And we have to tell it three things. Can anyone tell me what those three things are? Or do you want to take a guess? Or just go wild or get it right? Whoa, okay, right. So you first. Game object, yep. Yep, again, yep. Yep, the position and the Rotation, yeah. So basically you need what you're creating, where you're creating it at, and what rotation you're creating it at. So for in this example, I'm creating my rocket. I'm creating it at the spawn point dot position because I'm accessing the position of that transform. And I'm going to create it at the spawn point dot rotation as well because I want it to spawn at exactly the same rotation as the blasters. A student tried to be very smart and he was like, oh, I don't need to tell the rotation of it. That is stupid. Why would you need to tell the rotation of it? That's dumb. Change it. And basically, that's simply because if you were playing Time Crisis and then you went into a room with a gun and the enemy was spawned upside down facing the wall the other way, that would completely break all, you know, sense of like, you know, how the game is like. You want to spawn him at a particular rotation facing a particular direction. You don't want him to spawn, then the next frame instantly change. So a prime example of this is with my blasters here, what you'll notice is that they basically are facing upwards because they've got zero rotation. So when I spawn them, they're going to take the rotation of the blasters and spawn them with the rockets faced up, which is exactly what I want to do. If I didn't do that and I did something like that, basically it would fire the rocket into my spaceship and blow up my spaceship. So all I'm doing is I'm saying, create this object at this location with this particular rotation. My rocket, my spawn point has zero rotation, so my rocket is going to be facing straight up as opposed to sort of positioning in a different angle. And that's all you really need. I'm super lazy, so I'm just going to go two and two. Awesome. So if I go back into Unity, what I can do now is those variables will update on the script. And what you'll notice is that I have my force for my ship, and I have little slots which I can drag objects in. So this is where designers like it, because if I show this to a designer who doesn't write code, he'll be really, really scared. Or he or she will be really, really scared, and then they'll sort of panic. Whereas if I give them something as simple as this, I can say, you can just drag and drop an object into here, and it will create that object. So in this case, I'm going to take my rocket and drag and drop it into the rocket slot. So I'm now spawning my rocket. I'm going to take my left blaster, spawn it where my left into the spawn first spawn point. I'm going to drag my spawn my other blaster, drag it into there. So I've got what I'm creating, where I'm creating at, both times. So if everything has gone to plan, which I hope it has, basically, let's make it maximize on play because that's more interesting. It doesn't spawn the rockets. Oh boy. Okay, why are you no spawn? Oh yeah, genius, right. I completely forgot about that. Okay, so yeah, so it was spawning the rockets, but because they're on the default layer, they're behind, yes. Sorry, I forgot about that. You get 10 brownie points, or you get free lunch. There you go. Yeah, so as I'm firing rockets, there is tons of rockets being created. But if I have a look at them, yeah, they're basically behind my space, which is a bit of an issue. It actually looks quite cool that they sort of change color. So what I need to do is I need to go to my prefab, select that, go to my sprite renderer, and I'm going to change it from default because, yeah, it's there, then the background layer, and then I'm going to set it to be on the foreground layer. So now what should happen is I should, and I'll make this full screen as well. You saved my butt, thank you. Oh, hey, rockets, disco rockets, cool. So what that's doing is it's basically taking exactly the same, and I can. So what this is doing is it's basically taking that one prefab and it's duplicating it each time that I want to use it. Obviously, this is bad for memory because I now have thousands and thousands of rockets somewhere within my scene within Unity. So obviously, what I'd want to do is perhaps when the rockets reach the top of the screen, remove them, or when they reach a certain distance, remove them, or put a little script on them that says, after 7 seconds in game, remove them, and things like that. But this is fine for the moment. I can live with this, and I have now rainbow rockets. So as a slight little sidetrack, one thing I used to do is I used to play around the input. So with the input, I'm basically saying, rather than using a preset axis like here, I'm actually just referencing the keyboard directly. So I'm saying if input.getKeyDown, so I could put anything here. I could put the letter P, so every time I push P, it would spawn a rocket. GetKeyDown is like I'm pushing the key down, it's then going to create a rocket. GetKeyUp is like when I lift my finger up, it's then going to look at it. GetKey means if I hold the button. No one's realized what's about to happen. So yeah, GetKey basically... Goodbye, asteroids. Wow, look how slow it is. That's because as I'm holding it down, it's creating two rockets every single frame. Don't do that in a shipped game. Or do that. You could be incredibly brave. I'm going to leave it to this, which is boring, but yeah, we want to have a playable game by the end of it. Cool. So I'm now firing rockets. They're flying upwards. They have scripts on. They do different things. So what I want to do now is I want to make some asteroids. So in making asteroids, I'm basically going to do what I've kind of done already today in setting up, slicing it up in the sprite editor, making a polygon collider, rigid body, so on and so forth. But hopefully it'll be a very quick recap of all the stuff that we've done. Where were they? Okay, cool, there's my asteroids. So if I select my asteroids, what you'll notice is that in the little sprites, in the sprite sheet at the bottom there, I've got three of them. They're all sitting there like normal. Just a little tip, by the way, is if I import these sprites in, so these asteroids, they'll look pretty horrible. Basically, they look very, very blurry. And even though this is kind of like pixel art, it looks quite blurry in the end result. So what you can do, and this is a sneaky piece of advice, so if I select the asteroids, in the import settings, on the right-hand side where you set if they're multiple sprite or not, if you set them filter mode to point, it basically treats the pixel art a lot with a lot more respect. So basically now, my asteroids, they don't have a blurred edge. I can make them, keep making them huge, and they didn't look so blurry. Whereas beforehand, if they're bilinear, yeah, as I keep making them bigger, basically they look horrible. So if you do pixel art, set them to be point and it will look fantastic. If you don't care about pixel art, just kind of ignore everything I said in the last couple of seconds. But yeah. So we've got a problem already. So our asteroids are on default, but they're also one whole thing together. Now I want to slice them up individually. So I'm going to get rid of the asteroids. I'm going to go and slice them up multiple times. Go into the sprite editor, and then here I'm going to slice automatically. So basically now I have three individual asteroids. I'm going to click apply to that. So hopefully this is a nice remembrance. I'm going to drag one asteroid in, drag another one, and I think there's a little one as well. Cool. So I've got a bit of a problem already, and that's simply because my asteroids now appear basically behind this space. So I can select all the asteroids. I can change their sorting layer from default to, let's say, foreground main game. I can then add onto my asteroids. So I can select multiple objects within Unity. Instead of adding, clicking one, add component this, clicking one, add component this, I can select a whole row of them. Click add component, and I'm going to add something as a whole group to all of them. So I'm going to add a rigid body 2D to all of them. I'm going to set their gravity scale to be zero, so they're kind of floating around. So now all my asteroids will have basically exactly the same sort of component properties, which is nice. Another thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go add component, and I'm going to add a polygon collider to all of them. So actually, that polygon collider will probably take a bit too long to sort of like cut around that edge. So I'm going to remove that. And I think a circle collider is actually probably quite ideal. So I'm pretty happy with that. Let's go to this one. That's fairly round. So, yep, I'm going to get rid of that. It almost seems kind of pointless me adding it to all of them now. But what you'll notice is that we have this edge around the outside of the circle collider. But that's okay. I can hold shift and basically scale it down a little bit. So basically, it's actually got a nice fit around it. So that asteroid's sorted. With this one's a bit of a mess. So I can hold shift and basically edit all the points and kind of drag it all around. Hopefully, I don't mess it up in front of you people. So whilst I'm doing this quickly, has anyone got any questions? Just shout them out. Don't just put your hand up. No questions. What? So you want, so for example, you want a box collider and a circle collider on exactly the same object. Oh, okay, I see what you mean. Yes, you can do that. So you're thinking like a fighting game where you have like a hitbox for like the head and for the arms and the feet and something like that. Or something like, if you play Fallout, Fallout 3. So Fallout 3, you'd have, or any shooting game, you'd have hitboxes for different arms. So what you could do, I guess, is if I, okay. Let's find a ship. Okay, slight tangent, but I guess it's all relevant. Cool, so we have our ship like this. So what we wanna say is we wanna say, let's have a hitbox for this area and hitbox for this area. So what you could do is you could add multiple box colliders onto the ship. So you could say, scale that box collider to there and that to there. And let's add another collider. You could do something, Yeah, it's a little bit fiddly with a trackpad, but yeah. So you could do something a bit, Good, it's actually resizing. You could do something like that. So basically you do that wrap. If you don't want to do that, so you want to actually have individual areas being referenced, what you could do is, if I got rid of that, you could do a empty game object trick. So what that means is that basically you take your spaceship and you can create an empty game object, which is basically just an empty space, child it to that spaceship, and then on that empty game object, you could call this, for example, main hull. And then add a back box collider to that empty game object and then basically position it like accordingly. So what that is it's basically taking that parent child thing and you can build up like a whole structure. Yeah. So I could have one called main hull, which is in the center there. I could take this main hull, duplicate it, and then call this. So I've got main hull like there, call this, right engine, for example. So you basically have your spaceship when you select it, and then you've got like a main hull area there and a blaster right engine area there. Then if an asteroid hits it, you could say, what object did I hit? I hit the right engine, so apply damage to the right engine, for example. Because these are all empty game objects, that basically means they have no renderer. So that means you can use thousands and thousands and thousands of empty game objects and the renderer won't take a hit. The CPU might, but I'll worry about that. Yeah. Yeah. So all of these individual parts are going to have separate, like, you know, boxes basically defining all these different areas. So your answer is yes. Cool. No worries. So you're going to go away and make Street Fighter now. I have faith. Cool. So now that we have our asteroids, We have them all here. They all have rigid bodies. They've all got zero gravity. What I could do is I could make them into prefabs and position them accordingly. I'm not going to do that simply for time. I'm going to position them so they're kind of going to be like targets. I know in that demo I showed it had the asteroids tumbling down, but I don't necessarily have enough time for that. Instead, I'm going to have them more like a target range of asteroids. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use my game view as kind of like a reference, and I'm going to copy and sort of position. Cheating. So now I have lots of asteroids. It's only after I've seen these asteroids that I realize they look like little burnt pizzas with like molten, crusty, sort of like cheesy, doughy top, or like popcorn, I guess. So now that I have my sort of asteroids and they're sitting there, they have physics, they have colliders. When I fire some rockets, who can guess what it's going to do? Basically, the rockets are going to push them. So the worst rockets ever, because they're just tumbling, right? And I could take all of these asteroids, reduplicate them again, and go... Yeah, asteroid popcorn. Cool. Yeah, so basically I'm taking these asteroids. Now that might seem like fun, and if anyone then goes ahead and in 2 weeks I see a Windows Phone game called Asteroid Pusher, where you have to push asteroids off screen, I will claim royalties. Unity won't claim any royalties. I will claim royalties, right? If Microsoft do it, I don't have enough money to go after their lawyers, so yeah. First party title. Cool. Yeah, so basically I've got all my asteroids and I'm going to push them. So that's kind of dull and boring at the moment. So what I want to do is I actually want to get my rockets to detect a collision with them and remove them. I want to say when my rocket touches another collider, object with a collider, basically remove them and get rid of them. And that's really simple and straightforward. I mean, my asteroids already have colliders on them, and my rocket already has a collider on it. So all I need to do is I just need to write the code for it. Luckily enough, I already have a script on one of the objects being collided with, in this case the rocket, so I can use this as kind of like my point of collision and detect the collision between the objects. So I'm going to write void on collision enter. Collision, the collision. Yeah, I've just said collision a couple of times. I'll explain that in a second. So this way that I'm writing this, what the hell? Okay, cool. No one saw that slip up. So this way that I'm writing this is to detect the collision between two 3D objects. You just write on collision enter, collision, the collision. So basically that's passing in all the information about that collision. So that's detecting when two objects, basically this and this, basically enter that collision for the first time. So this will be explode, player sound effects, so on and so forth. Another thing you can do is, as well as enter, you can write on collision stay. So this is when the two objects basically are sitting against each other and kind of sliding against each other. So the prime example of that is like a racing game and two cars kind of like they're up against each, like you play Burnout and or Outrun or something like that. Basically the two cars are against each other. There's sparks flying and sound and stuff. So on collision stay basically says these two things are sitting next to each other. On collision exit is when it exits that. So for example, you could have enter will cause some sparks, stay will play sound, and when you exit that, you could apply a force or some more sparks or something like that. So you can basically access the entrance, the middle of the collision, and the exit of the collision. So this is how you'd write collision, a collision function, basically for 3D objects colliding with each other. But as we have a 2D system, we have to change this slightly. And this is really difficult to remember. I mean, I spent days trying to remember this. You just write add a 2D to the end of that. And that, I mean, yeah, some top-end programming right there, right? So on-collision enter is how you detect two 3D objects colliding. On-collision enter 2D with a collision 2D will detect two 2D stuff. It's the simplest API in the world, which is nice. Cool. So what this does now is people don't realize how important this bit is here. They take that for granted. And what that does is it basically takes everything about the collision and puts it into this almost like little gold mine for you to access. So it puts where the collision take place, what were the forces of the objects, what was the other object, where was the other object, exactly what point on the collision, like, you know, on the colliders collided, what was the exact magnitude of these particular objects. It basically is everything you want to know all tapped in. So I could write, for example, the collision.point to detect the exact point within the game world. So if I have two cars, yeah, these are cars, right? And they're racing, and then they collide with each other there. I don't want a particle system to appear at the back, because that doesn't make sense. I want, when they collide, basically particles to shoot off of that middle point there. So the collision.point, I can tap into that. In this case, I'm going to do the opposite of an instantiate. I'm going to destroy. So destroy game object, which basically means destroy my rocket, because I don't want my rocket to be there anymore. And the other one is destroy the collision.GameObject. So I'm going to destroy my rocket and destroy the asteroid it collides with. The worst thing I've ever written in code is destroy something like all children. Right? I wrote that, and my teacher was like, what? Destroy all children. I was like, no, it's because this object is a parent and it's got many children, like lots of different, it's like a tree and it's got branches and I want to remove the branches when it comes to winter. And he's like, destroy all children is not something we really want to be handing in a schoolwork. I was like, but it's all, you know, it does the job. And he's like, nah. Ace. So what should happen now is when my rocket collides with anything with a collider, it will destroy it. Let's have a look. Hey, cool. It's not that interesting as before. I actually prefer it when they push them. But I've got a slight bug that takes place. Can anyone tell me what that bug is? It's pretty obvious, right? Because what's happening is I'm firing so many rockets that they're basically overlapping and destroying each other. So if I have my explosion effect on there, it's basically going to create a rocket, then create another one, and instantly get rid of them. If I take my spaceship, where is it? Okay, let's add a box collider to my spaceship. So add component, physics 2D. Right, okay. So I think, oh, brilliant. My spaceship now has a box collider. Oh, I'm going to start playing this game. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to blow up some asteroids. Let's see what it does. Wait, what? So basically, the rockets are spawning where my spaceship is. Worst game ever. I give this 0 stars. So what we want to do is we want to limit what our rockets can collide with. So we can do this in a really, really simple way. I'm just going to do an if statement. So I'm going to say if the collision.GameObject, so what we're colliding with, .name equals something, then do a particular thing. So, okay, I got it right. However, there's a slight issue here. 10 brownie points, no, free lunch, which you've already had, to someone who can tell me what this is. What the issue is here with getting the name of what we collide with. No. So I could write asteroid underscore 0 or asteroid underscore 1, asteroid underscore 2. If we have 1,000 different types of asteroids with 1,000 different types of names, I'll be damned if I'm going to be updating that every single time my artist draws more asteroids. So we've got a slight problem, because we've got some asteroids called 0, some called 1, and some called 2. And what if all the asteroids were completely different individual names? So one's called Dave, one's called Bob, whatever, I don't know. that's going to be a real problem. So what we can do is we can take all those objects that have similar properties and put them underneath a tag and say, these are all asteroid. And then we can say, if you collide with anything with asteroid, then remove it. So who here's played Counter-Strike? Some people, okay. So at the end of round of Counter-Strike, they go through and they remove all the bullet holes, all the ammo, all the guns and stuff. So rather than referencing the 100 guns there are in Counter-Strike, they say, remove all the guns, rather than remove this, then this, then this, then this, then this, and so on and so forth. So if I select an object, in this case, asteroid, in my inspector, it has a label of tag. So if I open up that tag label, I can edit it. I can set it to be respawn, finish. These are really boring tags. Instead, what I can do is I can add a brand new tag and call this asteroid, like so. I can then take my first asteroid, take my last asteroid, hang on, and then set my tag to be asteroid. So basically, I'm saying all of these asteroids have a tag of asteroid, so they all have a similar thing. Then in my script, I can say the collision.gameObject.tag equals asteroid. And now, what will happen is my rockets will not collide with each other. Well, won't collide with each other. Okay. Okay, that's interesting. Goodbye. Okay, so a couple of things that went wrong. All of them my fault. Take the box collider off of my ship, so my ship doesn't fire the asteroids and then move backwards. But that was a good thing. It wasn't removing my ship, which is useful. Go for it. I think in the editor, you can only set one tag per item. But I think programmatically, you can add multiple tags per item. You can also set them to be individual layers. So I could say on this particular layer, I have these particular tags. If I collide with this object, with this tag on this particular layer, you can do something like that. But by default, you can only set one tag per object. But in script, you can change them. So you could say, this is no longer an alive player, this is now a dead player, for example. You can sort of change tags. Yeah, so you can have multiple, but it's not editor multiple, yeah. People like breaking the engine and doing stuff. So now, if I mash these rockets, they do slightly sort of go a bit wonky. Hang on. They do go a bit wonky because what it's doing is I'm having to push the button so fast that two rockets are kind of sitting there and sort of pushing them out. So I can get around that as well. And this is a little trick which stops characters from falling over. So if I have my rocket and I go to my rigid body, I have a thing called fixed angle. So what fixed angle does in ticking that on is it basically says this will not rotate. So when the rockets now are in the same space, they'll just slightly offset ever so slightly. They won't fall over. So this is how, like, making a platformer, you don't want your character to be walking, and then rather than dropping like that, he goes and then sort of hits his head on the floor, and then he's sort of running upside down. You want him to always be at a fixed angle like that. We want our rockets to do exactly the same thing. So now, when we run it with a fixed angle rocket, ooh, goodbye. Pew, pew, pew. Awesome. Cool. So we now have rockets. They're flying. It's not that interesting, so we don't have explosions yet. But we've just fixed some bugs and done some collision stuff. Right. So I have probably... I have audio to do, but that's pretty short. I've got an explosion effect, like the... effect. That's pretty quick to do. Let's do the explosion effect. Then my voice is giving out. So then have like a little 5-minute segment where I can run and get more water, and then we'll do audio, and then maybe some like mobile input code if we get time, and then building. and just anything else you guys want to do. I'm here all day, so yeah. Cool. Right, so let's do animation. Is everyone okay so far? Is everyone still awake? It's 5 o'clock, so if you're not, if you're still waking up, you're really a game, you're a true game dev. Yeah. Okay, cool. Silence. That's fine. Sweet. Yeah, it's like the it's like the stereotype of indie developers is that they just go to bed at like 5 in the morning and wake up about 1 p.m. and then continue making their game. And people wonder why it's an unhealthy, you know, lifestyle. Yeah. No, indies are awesome. Cool. So I've got an explosion, which basically looks like... hang on. I remember this time. She looks like that. I don't want to instantiate that entire animation clip each time that I fire a rocket, because that would be horrible. That's one too many explosions for my rocket. So what I want to do is I want to use the sprite editor to basically slice up that sprite into multiple explosions. So this is the... You know, the third time I've done this, I think. Yeah, someone's yawning. You're like, yeah, we've seen this already. Right, get on with it. So what I'm going to do is I'm basically going to set the sprite to be multiple. And I'm going to set the slice to be a grid. And each cut is across, I think it's 39 by 38. I have no idea why it's that sort of stuff. So what I have now is I have each individual clip here, which is great. However, my rocket is about the same size as this explosion here. So I don't want my rocket to be flying, and then it swaps out for an explosion, which is much smaller than the rocket size. I want it to basically start at a particular frame. So I'm going to select my frame I want to start at, in which case it's this one. And I'm going to say, this is start frame. So I know which one to select from the start and then go to the end with. I'm going to click apply on that. Cool. So what you'll notice, I've got my start frame there. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to access a thing called Mechanim, or it's the animator. And this is probably getting towards sort of the advanced or intermediate-ish end of Unity. So if I look at Mechanim, I'm about to terrify you all. No, not MSN. I mean, that is terrifying, but... Okay, cool. Sure. Okay, cool. So, who's instantly terrified by that? Okay, that's, don't worry, that's fine. Basically, Mechanim is a system where you can take animation clips and get them to transition with other animation clips. So if you look at the most basic example, which is, where was it? Okay, let's take that for example. So each of these individual nodes, it's like a node-based animation system. So each of these individual sections is a separate node, and that's a clip. So like where we have our rocket flying, and I told it to be called rocket flying, that is a clip of data. That's it doing something. I could have another clip of the rocket doing something else, such as exploding, or the rocket spinning and doing things like that. And then what you can do is with each of these individual clips, you can tell them to go play a different clip in the script. So for example, this will be for a character. He'd have an idle animation. So let's say it's Crash Bandicoot, for example. So his idle animation is him sort of standing there. He juggles oranges and apples, I guess, after a matter of time, and he stands there like so. He also has an animation of him moving and an animation of him doing a spin. I won't do the spin because I'll fall off the stage. And I look like a bigger idiot already. So what we can do is we can bring all these clips into this system, and then we can tell it to transition to different clips when we push a different button. So for example, with Crash Bandicoot, when we push, we push the attack button, it will go down this transition, it will say play the attack, and then it will go back and it will go back to idle. So we'll play it, and then it will sort of like go back to idle. So we can say trigger this animation, and when it's finished, go back to this animation. With moving, it's a bit more like a Boolean saying you're running or you're not running. So when you push forward, basically it's going to say you are now running, doing the moving animation, and when you stop pushing forward, it then goes back to an idle animation. So with this whole system, you can actually link up lots of individual animation clips, and basically make them do particular things at certain points. The other cool thing about it is you can actually see them operating in real time. So you can actually see the animation clip on loop, go down different paths and play different animations. So for example, if I show that previous one that I had, so something like this is a bit of a mess. That's pretty terrifying. That's got lots of animations to all sorts of areas. Where something like this actually makes sense now. So we've got a character standing. He's standing like there like that. So then if I push jump, it's then going to go down this animation path, play the jump animation, and then if nothing else happens, it's then going to play the falling animation, and then the falling animation is going to go back to standing. However, if I'm jumping and then I come into distance with a wall, he'll then go on to hang on to wall animation, and then if I push up, it will say climb the wall animation, and then it will go back to like a standing animation. So basically, you're taking all these clips, your character running, jumping, rolling, high-fiving, eating a sandwich, eating pasta, whatever it may be, and then you're transitioning these based on, you know, what's in your script. So I'm going to do the most simple animation of all time. I'm going to have one clip, which is my rocket flying, one clip, which is my rocket exploding, and I'm going to transition from one clip to the other. It couldn't be any simpler, and then hopefully everyone isn't scared by this sort of stuff. I'm still scared by it, so yeah. Well, actually, not as scared anymore. So let's do that. So if I select my rock, if I bring my rocket into my scene, like so, and zoom in on it, what you'll notice is in the component section, we have an animator. That's basically the back end to say what animation clip is playing and what do you want to transition to. If I open up a new window, so in this case, the animator, and place it down here, so yeah, it's another window, you'll notice we have almost exactly the same system that I was showing you there, screenshots. I have a clip of rocket flying, and if I take my animation and play it, basically it's going to play, hang on, where's my rocket? I select my rocket, it's basically going to play the animation of rocket flying, which is nice, which is cool. It's going to play that clip. And what you'll notice in the animator is, as that's the only clip in there, when I run my game, with my rocket selected, you'll notice that the animation clip will be playing from start to finish. It will be looping through. Come on. Okay, so the rocket just flew into an asteroid and removed itself. Brilliant. Okay, let's position it there. Okay. Yeah, there we go. So basically, it's now looping through the frames for rocket flying. We can actually see it, what it's doing. It's going to get to the end of that last, at the end of the clip, and then go back to the start and play through again. So if I set the frame rate to be like super rocket, where it's like 60 frames a second, that will be cycling through a lot quicker, for example. So you can actually see it live updating, doing the animation. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make another clip and then add it in there. So I'm going to navigate to where my rocket is. What you'll notice, I have my one clip called Rocket Flying. I'm going to click Create. Do a brand new animation altogether, and I'm going to call this Rocket Exploding. And then with this animation clip, I'm going to drag it into this timeline. So I now have a second node in there. So I've got one of Rocket Flying and one of Rocket Exploding. If I go to my animation timeline, what you'll notice is that when I select my rocket, as that's now got two clips in kind of like its piggy bank, kind of like in the back end of it, what I can do is I can go to this drop-down list and then pick which clip I want to animate. So at the moment, I'm animating Rocket Flying. So if I go over to it, I'm animating Rocket Flying. It's going to do that. If I then select Rocket Exploding, it's then going to say, this clip has no data. Do you want to do something with it? And we can do something very simple. This is very tricky and highly technical. I forget how to do this each time. First frame, last frame, drag and drop, right? And I'm going to drag and drop it into that clip. So now, okay, I completely mucked that up. Yeah, so I now have my animation playing as a separate clip. I probably need to change the frame rate, so I'm going to change the frame rate down to 12. And then now what should happen is I should have an animation of my clip playing where I just selected the frames and dragged them into the timeline, which is cool. Yeah, so I've now got two clips of data, one of rocket flying and one of rocket exploding. Is everyone okay with that, or is it a bit confusing, or is it okay? On our learn section, which I'll show you a bit later on, we've actually got little 5-minute videos showing you how to set up each individual section of this. So you're probably watching and you say, oh, I remember all that, but I want to watch this particular thing, like what he did here. I'll show you all those videos in a, sort of at the end. So I've got my rocket flying, which basically looks like that, and my rocket exploding, which basically looks like that. And I've also got my collider, but I'm going to get rid of that as well. So the next thing we need to do is basically link those two animations together. Then we have a 5-minute break whilst I get some water because I'm desperately running out. So what we have to do is just go to the animator. And you know I was showing you those little transitions that say go from here to here. Really, really difficult to do this. You right click and you select, and you select make transition. And then you have this extendable arm to say, where do you want to transition this to? So I want to transition rocket flying to rocket explode. So now, hang on. I have rocket flying here. Let me just move any state out of the way. I have rocket flying here. And what it's going to do is it's going to, as soon as rocket flying plays finishes and plays, it's going to go down this transition path. And it's then going to play rocket exploding. So let's see it actually do that. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to select my rocket because it disappears pretty quickly. Wait till it's blue at the top. So if you didn't see that, basically what it's doing is it's going to play the first animation, instantly transition to the next animation, explode, and then stay on that first frame. And if I have my animator in the corner here, so if I set my game view to be like, set my game view to be there. What you'll also be able to notice is that if I play it, it'll play that transition and then it'll play the other transition as well. So it'll play that transition, then play that one as well. So that's fine, but if I start firing rockets, so for example, if I take this rocket now, this will look hilarious, by the way. Well, I'd find it hilarious. If I then played my game, as I start firing rockets, they'll play and then they'll instantly explode. So which is fine, but I want them to basically explode when they hit the asteroids instead of just automatically playing it. So the way that we can do that, it's really, really simple and straightforward, is basically set up a parameter. And I basically see this as kind of like a bouncer of a club. So you've probably all been clubbing. So this is basically going to say, play this animation, and then when you have these certain conditions, then play the other one. So you go up to a bouncer in a club, he'll say, where's your ID? You show it, then you can go into the club. It's kind of that similar concept. Yeah, so what I can do is I can select add a parameter in my animator. It's in the bottom left, hang on. So you go to see. I'm gonna select add a parameter, and I can basically say different things. So for example, I could set it so that when my player gets from zero to zero health, play the transition of him dying, or when my player reaches 100 coins, he can then do a super jump, for example. I can do all these different things. In this case, I'm going to do a trigger. So I'm going to say in my script, when I say trigger explode, it's then going to go and play the explode animation. It's as simple as that. I'm literally telling it to go and play an animation. So with that parameter there, I'm going to select it. And you'll see on the far right hand side, it's got the different conditions. So like the bouncer asks for your ID, I'm going to ask the rocket for explode. So it's only going to play the parameter of explode when I want it to. So I did quite a lot of things there. It's a bit complex, a little bit. I set up a parameter, and I just select that transition and then said, Only play this when explodes takes place. Cool. So I'm going to do one thing, and then we have a little break for everyone to reflect on how awesome this is. And that is to basically go into my script for my rocket. Instead of destroying my rocket, I don't want it to destroy. I'm instead going to go get component. So what component do I want to get? I want to get the type properly component. Animated component. And I want to go to set trigger. And what trigger do I want to select? Explode. So that whole animation system is handling all the transitions between the different clips. So now, when I go back in here, let's make my game full screen. What should happen is I should now fire rockets, and when they hit an asteroid, there's a little bit of a delay. Why is there a delay? Yes, so they're basically, the rockets won't blow up until I call set trigger explode. So you could think, Crash Bandicoot, when I push a button, set trigger do a spin. Or when I push, when zero is great, or when horizontal is greater than one, do a different animation. However, there's a couple of issues here, and that's basically what I need to do now, is I need to now tell my rockets to stop flying when they explode, set their speed to zero, and do all sorts of other stuff. But I'm going to take a micro break, and at 5:30, basically, then sort of carry on with audio, polishing up that animation, and then do some other questions and things like that, and then we finish at 6. Cool. Has anyone got any questions so far, or is that all fine? I know I talk ridiculously fast, sorry? Yeah? Everyone's really quiet. Okay, you have a question, go for it. You want to test the game automatically? Oh, like a unit testing tool? Okay. So you want to call like some form of message when it happens, or print something to a console, or? Come talk to me in a bit. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to take a little 5-minute break, stretch your legs, go to the toilet, get a bottle of water like I'm going to, and then we come back and then finish it all up. Cool. Right. Okay. So I said 5 minutes. So I guess some people have this free t-shirt. So I guess some people are going to get them. This is when everyone leaves, right? Yeah. Sure. I'll carry on. People will eventually trickle back in, I guess. You have a question? Go for it. When you drag and drop sprites to make an animation, does the animation get saved as an animation file somewhere? Yep. So I now have two clips here, rocket flying and rocket explode. So basically, it saves it where the sprites are located. So you could have a folder which has your rocket prefab, your rocket's animation data, and stuff like that. So these, I could have made a separate folder called animations and then just put them all inside there. But no, they're saved here, so yeah. Like .anim, it's some Unity specific animation, not like a GIF or a SWIF or anything like that. It's like a Unity own animation type thing. But you can import from like Maya and Max and 3D modeling programs, animation data and stuff. Cool. See, I told you, free t-shirts, yeah. Did you have to sign up to get one, or did you? But I had to fill something in. It's a Mickey Mouse, right? Well, no, I'm kidding. Mickey Mouse at unity.com, right? Unity 3D. Although we don't own unity.com, we keep trying to. Whoever owns unity.com owes some religious. It keeps trying to sue us because apparently we're profiting on their word of unity. I'm like, Come on. Right, okay. Sweet, I have my water. My voice won't get lost. Sweet. So we've got to a point where we don't have a finished game. We have actually quite a few things sort of all in play. We've got some form of input, scripts. We have prefabs, creating things. We have rockets, we have explosions, we've got animation systems. I'm gonna fix that delay, hang on. Okay, so it's on the transition between rocket exploding. Oh, okay, there we go. So with this transition, basically, it's going to blend the two animation clips together. So you think of a game like Tomb Raider. Basically, you've got Tomb Raider Lara Croft standing there, and then she has her jump. When you push jump, she doesn't instantly go, and then just instantly like that. She basically transitions from one into the other. So what this does is it basically has a blend time where it goes from this state to this state, and it kind of blends the two things together.
Like a flash,
basically, you say from this point to this point, like from a circle to a cube, it will be square. It will basically blend those two things together. So with pixel art or some frame-based animation, it doesn't work in any way whatsoever. So what I can do is I can take the blend time, and I can drop it right down, and then basically say play rocket exploding at the end of rocket flight. Hang on. No, play rocket exploding here. So now what should happen is the blend time between the two clips is absolutely minimal. There you go, it's going to play explosion already. And it hits it. Cool. So currently, my game's got a couple of bugs, and it's all a bit Charlie Chaplin because you can't hear anything. It's like silent movie. I guess it's like the intro credits of Fire. Has anyone here watched Firefly? No. Okay, everyone go watch it. It's amazing. Yeah. People are nodding. They're like, yeah, it's best show ever. It's gone too soon. It was cancelled after like 9 episodes or something. Yeah. So basically, it's kind of true to space that like, in space, you can't really hear any sound, but screw that. I'm going to add some audio in anyway. So basically, I want to add a background clip basically playing some 2D audio over the, you know, in the background space, and I want another one to be triggered when a particular event happens. So this is really simple and straightforward. So if I select audio, I've got two things here. I've got explosion sound effect, which is, and I can be really annoying again. See, there's head banging, and yeah, cool. I also have this one, which is a bit more chilled than that. So just lots of weird spacey theme I found. Stop. Cool. So when you import your audio in, they're either a 3D sound or a 2D sound. So a 2D sound is useful for background music or narrative or like Portal, like the voice over the back and things like that. 3D sound is great if you want something to have some form of 3D depth to it. So if I took this phone and threw it across the room, as it bounced, basically, if it was a 3D sound, it would emit where it's bouncing from. And the further it traveled, the more it would break, which I don't want to happen, but each time it hit the floor, basically, that sound would continue to sort of be drowned out the further it went, because it's further to travel to where your ears are. And in Unity, you have two things to replicate what ears are like and what an audio clip is, what ears are like and how an audio clip is emitted. So on your camera, you've got a thing called an audio listener. The audio listener is exactly like your ears. It's basically what the player's gonna hear. By default, it's attached onto the camera because basically that's where the player is going to be seeing the game from. And basically, the audio listener listens out for any audio being emitted anywhere within the scene. So typically, unless you're making a multiplayer game, you have one audio listener in your scene. And it's basically just bringing all the audio in to play out of the speakers. You also have audio sources. So these are kind of like jukeboxes that you basically play around your game and emit an audio sound from that particular location. So if I have my rocket, which I have here within my scene. What I'm going to do is I'm going to scroll down, and I'm going to add a component onto the rocket, go to the audio section, and I'm going to make an audio source. I'm going to say my rocket now emits audio from this particular location. So let's do that. So my rocket now has an audio source on it. I'm going to do another thing as well. I'm going to make an empty game object. So basically, it's a completely blank game object, and I'm going to call this game object Music Manager. And this is going to hold, for example, this could hold scripts that plays my audio, my background music, my narrative, my narration, things like that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say on my Music Manager, add component, audio source. So I now have two sources of audio in my game, one on every single rocket, so they can all emit audio from different locations. So I want my rocket to basically, when it explodes in the top right-hand corner of the screen, it plays audio from, you know, more outside the right than the left, for example. Because they're 3D audio, it does that, and it kind of adds depth to it. My Music Manager is just going to play audio default in the background. So with my audio source here, I can then set what my audio clip's going to be. So if I just drag and drop in there, I've got my audio clip. It's going to tell me that this is a 3D sound, which is no good. I can select my audio clip and then basically toggle off 3D sound. And what you'll notice now is Unity will cry. It will now basically reload the audio for a 2D sound. So what it's doing is it's kind of compressing it down. It's saying we don't need that extra layer of where the audio is within the scene. We are just going to play this audio in the background. So by the end of this, basically, our audio is going to play in the background, it's going to loop, it's going to have a particular volume on it. Eventually, okay, cool, it got there, well done. So now our Music Manager has an audio clip on it. It's 2D sound, so it's going to sit anywhere in our game and it's going to be playing some sound. We don't want it to mute. We want it to play on awake, so that means the audio clip's going to play from the start. We want it to loop, so basically it's going to get to the end and play from the beginning again. So now, as we play our game, it's all a bit silent still, but I have my background audio playing in my game. So it's actually a bit more interesting. Sweet. Cool. So if I leave that, what I'm going to do now is on my rocket, I want to, by code, play an audio clip through this audio source. This is kind of like an iPod, and what we're doing is we're basically passing through a track to this iPod to then play that track. And this is really, really easy. What we need to do is we're going to open up the rocket script, which I already have here. I'm going to set up a variable. I'm going to set up a variable at the top. So just like I would set up a color variable or animation curves or a float or something, I'm going to set up an audio clip. And this audio clip is going to be called Explosion SFX. Cool. Then I'm going to scroll down. And I want to call this when the rocket explodes. So basically, inside this collision here, the collision takes place, checks if it's an asteroid, and if it is an asteroid, it's going to play the explosion animation. It's going to destroy the asteroid, and we're also going to go audio source dot play clip at point, because we want to play it somewhere within the game world. And this is going to take two values. It's going to take what we're going to play, so explosion SFX, and free t-shirt. Like, come on, man. Like, and where we're going to play it. So in this case, exactly where our rocket is. So yeah, I did a couple of things there. So basically, I'm going to play it through the audio source, play clip at this exact point, play the explosion, and do transform.position. I'm going to save that. Go back into Unity. It's going to re-import the script because I basically made some changes to it. And what you should notice now is my script, underneath the speed of my rocket, I should also have, hey, an explosion sound effect, and it's asking for an audio clip. So I just drag and drop it in there. So the reason why I did this is because you may want to randomize the sound effects. Having exactly the same sound effect play over and over and over again, so you think you have a game with lots of dogs, every single dog has exactly the same bark, that's going to be so irritating after about 30 seconds. So what you may want to do is you may want to have 7 different barking sound effects and then pick a random one and play it through the audio source, which is like a little, basically a little trick. You've all played Flappy Bird. It's really annoying hearing the same root, root, root over and over again. And that sort of really disappointing sound effect when he hits the pipe and sort of like crashes. So now what I will have here is when my game runs. Oh boy. Okay, I know exactly what went wrong. So what went wrong was I was editing my rocket, which is in my scene, but the rockets I'm creating are the prefab here. Because if you remember, I've taken this prefab and I've extended it. So if I look at my original prefab, that's basically in my folder, the thing that I'm actually creating, what you'll notice is it doesn't have an audio source at all, but the script is updated. So what I need to do is I need to go to my new rocket, the one that I've extended it, it's a better, it's faster, it has more audio, it has more properties. I need to overwrite that prefab rocket. I'm going to say, you are the master, the apprentice is now better, I'm going to overwrite you and I am now the master type thing. And this is really difficult to do. You drag and drop it. There we go. We have now updated our prefab master. Yeah. So now, when I play it, every single rocket should have an audio source and basically all the things are set up with this custom rocket here. Boom, 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 boom. Awesome. But I've got a bit of a problem. And can anyone tell me, it's not too obvious. I'm going to fire one rocket and see if you guys can tell. If you guess it right, I'll give you a free t-shirt, which courtesy of Microsoft, right? So if I fire that rocket, what's the problem? You're all awake now. This is amazing. It's only nearly 6 o'clock. So yeah. Yeah. So basically the collider is existing on the rocket still. So if I don't run my game or maximize on play, if I get rid of this rocket, I'm going to fire one rocket, well, two rockets. No, stop. Okay, stop your destruction. So now, even though my rocket's playing the explode animation, the collider's staying exactly the same. It's basically changing only the sprite, but the rocket collider's still staying still. This is a bit of a problem. So what I could do is I could do an event callback, which gentleman asked for that. So in the animation clip, you can play some. He went because I didn't show him. No. Okay, yes. So basically you asked if in the animation you can play like a function. So what you could do is you could play a function that turns off the collider, for example, at that particular point, which is what I'm going to do now. So let's find my rocket. Okay, there's the rocket. Rocket exploding. So what we can do is we can basically say at the end of this animation, so here, we can click this little tab and this will add an event. So this will basically say run some code at this particular point. So a good example of this is like a walk cycle. So as your character walks, basically each time their foot touches the floor, instead of working out some collision code, you could say, at this point of the animation, play a footstep sound effect, kick up some dust. You know, when he goes to the other one, play a footstep, kick up some dust, and things like that. You could have it. I've got an example of Iron Man running around, firing missiles all in 2D. And then he has an animation where he basically goes back to fire. And then when he reaches there, it then creates the rocket because I'm using an event animation. So what I can do is I can go into my rocket, write a public function. So in this case, remove rocket. Alt. Wait, I learned it by the end of the day, right? And then when I remove rocket is called, I'm then going to actually finally destroy the game object. I'm going to have another function as well. So this one's going to be something like, what should I do here? Actually, I'll do it all in the animator, just to show you guys. So if I go back into Unity, if I go to this animation event, which is happening here, double click on it. What it's going to do is it's basically going to look for all the functions attached onto our rocket in the scripts. I'm going to use remove rocket. So now when I fire my rocket, it plays through the explode. When it reaches this particular frame, so when my rocket gets from there to there, then it's going to delete my rocket. It's going to trigger that by code. However, my collider is still there. So whilst my rocket's still flying, the collider is still in place. So what I can do is at the start of my explode animation, I can say to my rocket, add curve, polygon collider, enabled, false. Yeah, so basically I've now animated my polygon collider to turn itself off through a bool animation. Cool. So I now have my rocket exploding and the collider turning itself off. I've now made a sort of new master rocket. We'll do the really complex process of dragging and dropping it. And then now, what should happen is I should fire a rocket and it should pause it as well. So let's do that. So now the rocket won't collide with other rockets. Won't collide with other asteroids. So that's a pretty bad demo. Hang on. Let's go maximize on play. Okay, so I'll fire one rocket. There we go, and it sort of passes through. But the fact that it passes through still annoys me. You can tell I'm incredibly picky, right? Yeah. So what I can do is, in the animation window, I can actually take my rocket, and I'm going to go one step further. Okay, let's take my rocket. I can go to my rocket, and I can say, in the explosion code, I'm going to add a new curve. I'm going to access my script. I'm going to access the speed variable, and I'm going to set that from 5 to 0. So what I'm doing is, in this animation, as opposed to just position, rotation, scale before, which is super boring, what I'm doing now is I'm animating the speed to be 0, I'm animating the polygon collider to turn it off, and I'm still animating the sprite. So what should happen now is, let's take this prefab. This is now... It's going to make funny sounds at me. Get rid of that. So what should happen now is, when the explosion happens, it should then turn off the collider, pause the rocket in the location, and play the sound effect. Okay, the reason why it's stopping and continuing is because of momentum, boost, and force. But I still think that looks pretty awesome, so I'm not going to change that. So as the force is already applying to it, the speed is suddenly being set to 0. Yeah, that looks cool. I don't really care. And the last one. Wait, okay, cool. I thought they were about to pass in between the asteroid. So now we have our very sort of like straightforward game. All made, all finished. It looks beautiful. It's game in the loosest sense. I've got about 5 minutes left. What I'll do is, if you want this finished built project, I can then zip it up and just send it to you guys. So I have some contact details which I'll be able to give to you. What can I cover in 4 minutes? Let's talk about slides. Cool. Okay, so hopefully that was a pretty fun little crash course into Unity, and I can tell you all absolutely loving it and just climbing over the seats to come and make games and stuff like that. My slides look very different. I can tell you all just gearing up to like download it, which is amazing and cool. So thanks for your enthusiasm. So in reference, you have this scripting reference if you want to go off and sort of learn that. C#, JavaScript, and Boo, but stick with C#. It's both online and local. So the local one will be whatever version you're on. So if you download Unity 4.3.4, the documentation will be up to date for that version. Whenever the next version of Unity is released, it will be up to date with that version when you download it, and so on and so forth. So you can work on a train, work on the tube, if you really want to, work on the bus, work in the field. You can basically access all your like documentation locally. So we have learn tutorials. So these learn tutorials come in two sort of different ways. One's a start to end project. So it's a stealth project, a spaceship shooter, and like a rollerball game. And they're working on some other ones. But basically, those are kind of like, right, here's this next step. We're now going to set up a scene. Here's the next one. We're going to do lighting. Here's the next one. We're going to do this. Here's the next one. We're going to do this, and so on and so forth. So that's great if you have like, what, 8 hours spare? I don't even get that much sleep, so yeah. So what we also have is micro tutorials. So these are kind of like little bite-sized 4-minute, 5-minute videos that say, this is how you set up shadows in your scene. Here's the lights, here's how you play around the shadows, this is how you tweak them and stuff. So if you've seen everything I've done today and you think, I'm an absolute pro at audio, I don't need to know audio, I'm an absolute pro at the editor, but probably physics I need to know more, you can then go into there and you say, okay, how do I set up this type of physics? So basically, all these videos are, you can jump in and out of these different things. This screenshot was taken a while back, so we've actually got a lot more of these, including mobile, navigation, mechanism, like that whole animation system, scripting, intermediate scripting, and so on and so forth. And these are being updated as they go along. There is the asset store. So I'm a terrible artist. So when I started using Unity, I just took everything from the asset store and then put in subtext that it's not mine, which is super mean. But basically with the asset store, you can go on there. There's pre-made scripts, but there's also objects, assets, lighting, shaders, all sorts of different things that you can sort of play around with. So it's worth a look. Our forums are an interesting place. Basically, everyone's really passionate about what they do, and everyone, they don't argue. They basically give very constructive criticism to one another when they show off their games. So someone does a screenshot and basically posts it up. Everyone will basically talk about their game and you know, offer feedback, offer help. You can even look for other developers. So if you're a programmer, but you need to find an artist, you can post, I'm a programmer in Italy, in Milan. Is there any artists here? Some artists say, yeah, great, let's make a game together, that sort of thing. And there's lots of specific things. And there's even like a Windows development if you want to learn more about Windows development there, or GUI system, or the things like that. So the answers is, forums is more for discussion. The answers is more for, why does my code not work? Can you help me, please? So basically, our developers both go on the forums and on the answer, they even sell stuff on the asset store as well. So our developers go on the forums and they basically actually talk on there. So you're talking to the people actually making the engine. So if you have some bug with Windows development, you go on there, you'll probably have someone from our Windows development team actually talk to you and help your project one-on-one. So it's kind of like that level of transparency. Or you can pester them on Twitter and Facebook if you want to. Don't bother with LinkedIn. They probably won't like it. Answers is more like, here is my script I wrote, why does it not work? So you can see here, character animation loop not smooth at the bottom. So basically, there's 1,400 views on there. So people have gone on there and they've seen that. And basically, our moderators upvote whether it's successful or not and so on and so forth. So yeah, as you can see, I've only answered 3 questions. I don't tend to frequent it that much. I leave that to the other developers. Or you can alternative contact me and I can send you all any information, this project, you're making a game, your picture of a cat, because I like cats as well. Don't send me photos of nice weather, because I live somewhere where it rains about 340 days a year. And the other 25, it's really cloudy. Another thing is that we have a new version of Unity coming out at some point called Unity 5, and this has got a whole ton of new lighting, shaders, WebGL, audio, basically a whole lot of new stuff. And we've got a pretty kick-ass trailer, which is like 4 minutes long, which is pretty awesome. That's coming out at some point, but it looks pretty sweet. So all of this is done with one shader for the cloth, for the skin, and for like the doll's sort of face and things. It's basically a shader that allows you to bring in materials from Maya and Max and replicate exactly what the artist has created. So instead of the artist creating a beautiful thing in a 3D modeling program, bring it in and have to kind of to reset things in Unity, it's basically made to make that workflow actually take what you've sculpted and actually bring it into the game like this. So yeah, it's a pretty amazing thing, and I'm sure I'll be back in Italy to talk about it and show it off and hopefully not watch it break in an alpha build, but yeah. And that's pretty much it. I think I ran over by like 1 minute. So sorry. Cool. Yeah. See, I'm being told off. Cool. So thank you. Hopefully today has been insightful. Obviously, Unity is a lot bigger than what I've shown you. I'm using it while I'm still learning new things because they keep releasing new things. You've got my email, so you can contact me. Show me your games. I like games and playing them and stuff. Or my Twitter if you want to see me rant and rave about the weather and making Flappy Bird Oculus Rift, which is my, which I've actually got working, but I can't release it because it uses unreleased tech. So yeah, basically you look in the game and you can look to see the pipes coming from afar. And I'm going to make it so you shout flap into your microphone to make the bird flap. And I'm going to change the word every time you die. So flap, 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 elephant, 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 pizza, pizza, pizza. You know, there's lots of different in-app purchase DLC that's possible. Yeah, so I'm working on that. So yeah, thank you. I'll be hanging around for a bit. Yeah, has anyone got any questions or everyone's pretty happy? Yeah. Well, hey, have you had fun?
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you. Oh, you've got a question. Yes, it's happening. Okay, so basically, we have our own plugin, which when someone visits a page which has a Unity project on embedded into the web player, it says something like download Unity, it's a game development, you know, it's a game engine type thing, you can play it in the browser. We have something like 200, I think it's like 200-ish, I think it's like 250-ish million, because there's suddenly a massive spike in China and we're still trying to work out why. I don't know. So basically, with that plugin, the trouble is a lot of companies turn down Unity. So for example, the BBC in the UK, they flat out refuse to use Unity because they don't want little kids going on a web page and it says download Unity, you know. I mean, my mum, it's like I said earlier on, my mum thinks anything I send her an email is a virus because it says download this image that your son took. And it's like, mum, why would I do that? That's mean. So with WebGL, and I think I've actually got a picture. With WebGL, basically, in Unity 5, you'll be able to export your project and embed it in a web page without needing the plugin. So I could take this project, embed it in the web player, and then basically send it off to anyone I want. Yep, all these images. Okay, eventually we'll get there. So yeah, that's happening at some point this year. Did anyone here go to GDC? You're nodding, yeah. Did you play this? Nope, did you go to our booth? Or did you go to our booth, the Unity booth? Okay, so we actually had a fully playable game like this, quality, running all in the web player natively without a plugin, called Dead Trigger 2, which is made by a company called Madfinger Games in the middle of nowhere in Czech Republic. It takes ages to get to their offices. But basically, they said, oh, we want to make like your first sort of game with it. So we said, okay, and we just sent them the tech. And then basically we worked along with them. So they had something like this running in the web player, like a full game. So there are zombies you can run, you get points, everything. And that will be possible, basically, in Unity 5. So yeah, so you won't need a plugin. So now BBC suddenly want to talk to us. Yeah. So yeah, you'll be able to do that, and that's pretty exciting. But there'll be more announcements on that. We're in partnership with Mozilla about it, so Mozilla have been helping us with Firefox. Google are helping us, even though they're killing off the plugins, which is, cheers Google. They are helping us, and when it came out, Apple actually contacted us to help us with Safari, which is completely unheard of, because Apple sit in their ivory towers and throw fruit down at the monkeys, yeah. They're like, yeah, you go. Whereas everyone else is like, you know, really cool and flat. They're a weird company. So yeah, so the WebGL, no plugin required. Be able to build something like that and actually have a playable game instead of just what most WebGL demos are, and they're just orbit demos of 3D objects, which is not a game. Yeah, cool. So yeah, hopefully that answers your question. Don't ask me when it's out. So yeah, cool. Yeah, awesome. Was anyone about to ask when the new GUI system is out? Because that was an inevitable question. Thank God for that. Okay, yeah, we're overhauling our GUI system to make heads-up displays and UI and health bars and stuff like that. That's in a version of Unity coming out at some point this year. We've been saying that for 2 years, but it's definitely coming out, and April's probably when more information's coming out. But that depends if the devs ever want to let it go. Yeah. Cool, awesome. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'll be hanging around. Cheers. Hello, that's all right. How's things?
I think very well.
Hi, Victoria.